Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Well, there's not a lot of thanksgiving in that gospel passage. I guess Lazarus was thankful in the end, but the rich man wasn't. So I'm not preaching on the gospel. I wish somehow I could gather you all together and put you in some sort of time machine and travel just 2 weeks ahead, just 2 weeks, a sort of Doctor Who TARDIS, because if we were here 2 weeks' time, the gospel would have been all about the 10 lepers who were healed, and one came back and said thank you. So I'm going to imagine that we've made that time travel, and that's the gospel that you've just heard. The story of the socially ostracized and physically maimed 10 lepers. We know that Jesus makes all of them bodily well. But only one returns to say, thank you. And of this one, Jesus says, you have now been made whole. You have been saved. And here Jesus is not just talking to a bodily healing, but a healing and strengthening of psyche and of soul. Saying thank you adds dimensions of health and welfare, not secured by those other 9 ungrateful, mute lepers. The practice of saying thank you is crucial, vital, essential to our total well-being. I remember when we first arrived in the States and we were out at dinner or lunch with the little kids, the kids would say thank you for anything that was done to them. And it became almost awkward because they kept saying thank you and the server said thank you. They then said thank you in response. And often I just had to cut this litany of thank yous. But they did that because they had heard their parents say often, now what do you say? And I think often God is saying to us, now, what do you say? Look at this beautiful day, in this beautiful place. Look at these beautiful people that I'm seeing. And you too, also. A Bible passage often read at weddings, and I have officiated at many, many weddings, but a Bible passage is often from the letter to the Colossians, and it contains this statement. Whatever you do, in word or deed, give thanks. And I talk to the couple beforehand and sometimes at the wedding to say that if you can create an ethos, a culture of being grateful for one another, you are building a foundation that will last forever. When Jesus institutes, inaugurates, initiates Holy Communion, we read in all the Gospels that he gives thanks. Right at the core of that communion service, listen for it later, when all hell is literally about to break loose, Jesus is giving thanks. And thereby he is transforming an otherwise wretched situation. And this primal act of giving thanks, Greek word eucharisteo, leads some people to call this service Eucharist. This primal act of giving thanks leads us to call a church community a Eucharistic, a thanksgiving community. Is this what we are? I am convinced that when the lonely, the distressed, the confused enter an authentic Eucharistic community, they enter into the process of being saved and healed. I am convinced that when the comfortable, the settled, the secure enter an authentic Eucharistic community, they are rescued from their smug complacency and isolating self-sufficiency. You bet. Now, if you mention Thanksgiving to many people, it will elicit images of overindulgence, family chaos, and waves of latitude due to gluttony. But to us, a Eucharistic community, Thanksgiving brings images of vibrancy and vitality and vigor. And I believe that the inclination, the disposition, the propensity to give thanks is the key to healthy living. I'm going to practice it this week. And such living is made possible as we grow in faith and trust in the Lord. At our 10 o'clock Eucharist, we will be saying thank you to McBean trustees, HVAC workers, landmark preservation and painters, door restoration painters, creators of our security, and parish foundation donors. But not only are we deeply grateful for what they have done and who they are, I think we should be doubly grateful because they have given us another opportunity to say thank you. It's really, really good for us. Thank you. Amen.